Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about honor. and today, we're going to be talking about getting back to honor. Some of you Bible school students, this might be a reminder and some stuff that you might have heard in class. But, you know, we just want to put a little perspective on it and talk about this a little bit more. You know, as time progresses and as the world changes, we see things that are happening that are not that great. And the world is turning very quickly into an honorless society. The world has actually replaced honor with something called situational ethics, to where basically you're putting comfort before the truth. We want to make sure that what we believe in or what we're doing, you know, it suits us best, right? Naturally speaking, mankind can be very selfish, and we can be very self-absorbed, and, you know, it's what suits me best, not necessarily what the truth is. And, I mean, you look at the news, you look at Facebook or social media and all those things, and you always see things like this happening, you know. And I'm sure we've all come across situations in our own lives that, you know, we could have made a decision to do the right thing or do the comfortable thing. And how many of you know sometimes it's nice to do the comfortable thing because it's comfortable, right? You like it, you know. And sometimes doing the honorable thing is tough. Can I get an amen? You know, sometimes it's going to cost you a little bit. Sometimes you're going to have to do something. You know, you might have to get up a little bit earlier, or you might have to skip a trip, or you might have to do something different, you know? Because when it comes to honoring, you're going to have to sacrifice sometimes. And it's not always the most comfortable thing in the world to do, you know? And, you know, I'm stating facts here because this is my life. This is the stuff that I've gone through, you know? Turn over in your Bible to Psalms chapter 15. We're going to look at good old Psalm 15 here. And this is kind of going to be our text for this morning. And I only got 28 pages of notes to go through. So, you know, we should be out in time before service starts tonight online. So it should be good. No, I'm joking. Well, let's read this together. Psalm 15, we've got it up here. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speak the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest, banks, and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will, what? Stand firm forever. This here in Psalms chapter 15 is a basic outline of what an honorable person or honorable people look like. Amen? And so we're going to just kind of dissect this a little bit and just kind of take it apart just a little bit. But before we do that, I want to ask you the question, what is honor? Well, it is defined, you know, in different dictionaries, but it means high respect, to esteem, the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right, adherence to what is right or to a controversial or a conventional standard of conduct, also to regard with great respect, or to fulfill an obligation or keep an agreement. So, I mean, that's all pretty heavy words right there, you know? But I especially like that one, their quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. You know, I really like that because sometimes morals can be blurred lines sometimes. Not because they're difficult, but because we choose to make them difficult. The world has given us a very skewed image of what life should be and what should be acceptable and what should not be acceptable. And like I said earlier, you know, we like comfort, and it's a lot easier to go with the comfort side of things than go what is the correct side of things, you know, especially if it's going to save us time, money, effort, you know. You might have had a long day at work, but you said that you were going to do something, but, you know, oh, man, I'm tired. I can't do it. I'm just not going to show up. I'll make up some excuse, you know. The kids need me. The kids want you out of the house. What are you talking about, you know? You know, there's different things that, you know, we got to think about here. All right, let's keep going here. Now, the word honor comes from the Greek root word. It's pronounced time, and it's actually spelled time, T-I-M-E, but it's pronounced time, which means value. So when you honor somebody or something, you put a value on it, right? Now, let me ask you this. If you have something that's very valuable, okay, you got a nice piece of artwork or something, what are you going to do? Going to hide it in the closet? Or no, we're not. What are we going to do with that? We're going to hang it up, put it somewhere on display, right? If you got a certain item that you really, really like, you know, say you got a nice fancy car or something, you know, what are you going to do? Going to hide it in the garage all of its life? No, you're going to use that sucker, right? You're going to get out there and you're going to enjoy it, you know. I don't know, you got a certain object that's really nice. You're going to put it in a place of respect. You're going to put it in a place where you can show it off, you know. So how much more should we value people? How much more should we show respect and honor, you know? And that is just materialistic things. Like, you know, you got that beautiful painting or piece of art. You know, you'll never hang it in the wall or hang it in the closet and shut the door and never look at it. You know, if you got a beautiful, priceless painting or whatever, you want to put it somewhere and show it off, you know? You go over in the, you know, all the museums and the art galleries and stuff, and they got beautiful artwork in there. And they got the displays done up just so. They got lights shining on them, and they got, you know, nice displays. And, you know, they really show the value of the artwork. Well, guys, as Christians and as people, you know, we are supposed to be putting value on things as well. And we're supposed to be putting a value on others. And so it's important for us that when we show honor, we give value as well. We show it that way. All right, let's keep going. Anyway, so like I said, the Greek word time, which means a value. For any believer, we have to evaluate ourselves and ask ourselves these questions. When we value something, do we keep it in an old place? No, we treat it, and we don't treat it any old way, but we show respect to it, and we handle it carefully. And the same thing is when it comes to people, you know? And then when we honor those who God has placed in our lives, and the way, you know, we honor our own lives is that, how do we handle that? See, it's important to think about these things. A life of honor for a believer is not an optional character trait, but is a part of our everyday lives. This is something that actually becomes a part of our lifestyle, you know? We hear about the saying, lifestyle Christianity or something like that. Well, this is a part of this. You know, honor becomes a part of your character. It becomes of who you are. Why? Because God designed you that way. Now, we have to activate it on the inside of us, because it's so easy to go the other way, and it takes effort to show honor. Amen. So, to get a much better understanding of honor, let's look at the opposite. So the antonym of honor is dishonor. And the Greek word meaning for dishonor is atimia, A-T-I-M-I-A, atimia. And that means to disgrace, dishonor, reproach, shame, vile, not to show respect or value, or, this is an interesting thing, to treat as common or to treat as ordinary. Well, if you've been around here long enough, I think you need to realize that God created us to be extraordinary. We're not ordinary. And so therefore, we don't need to be treated that way, you know? Because we belong to Christ, amen? And so the Bible even tells us many times, you know, we're created in Christ's image. We're created in the likeness of God, that we are blessed, that we are this, we are that. You know, all those benefits that belong to us. So no, let me tell you something. You are not ordinary. You're not normal. You're extraordinary. Point to your neighbor and say, "You're extraordinary." Crazy people, you know? That's who we are. So, what does one of these honorable people look like? Well, we already looked at it in Psalm 15, but let's kind of look at this again. Let's kind of break this down a little bit. So now we have a little bit of understanding what honor is. We understand what honor is not. We understand that it's a little bit important. But go back to Psalm 15, and let's just look at this. All right, verse 1. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Verse 2, those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Now, this is people that, you know, you're striving to live a holy life, a sincere heart, a person who actually cares about telling the truth, you know? Sometimes the truth hurts. you know what I'm talking about? You ever find yourself in that situation where the truth hurts? You know? And there's times when, you know, you just don't really want to tell the truth because it's easier, you know, naturally speaking, to save heartache and grief and arguments and whatever by telling the truth, or it'll keep you out of trouble. You know? As a kid, there's times when you want to hide certain things that you did. You might have broke, you know, something or a piece of furniture, or put your brother's foot through the wall, or maybe even his head. You know? And it's like, how did that hole get there? He did it. Yeah, he did it with me helping. You know? But I mean, there's different times in life. I'm sorry, Mom, truth's coming out. But there's times when it's easier to be like, you point the blame at someone else or come up with a cover story, you know? Come up with an alibi of some sort, true or not true. So, those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Well, honorable person, you don't go lying, you don't go trying to make up stories to get yourself out of a situation, but rather, you tell the truth. Amen? And I mean, like I said, that can totally be very, very difficult. Okay, verse 3. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. This is basically, you're watching your tongue, watching what you say. I mean, it's so easy to fall into the trap of gossip, you know, talk about your neighbors, speak evil things. But I'm sure nobody in here has ever said anything wrong about someone else because, you know, we're all sanctified and all those things. But you know what I'm saying? It's so easy to fall into that trap. And that's not a good thing. An honorable person stays away from this, as we can see here. Those who refuse to gossip. You know, there's times when you got to remove yourself from a situation. I recently had a conversation with somebody, and they were stating that they were with a friend of theirs, and this person was very negative and literally talking about everybody. I mean, they had nothing nice to say. And this was really affecting this person I was talking to. So what did they have to do? They actually had to confront this person and be like, listen, you know what? Okay, you're having a hard time. I understand that. But you need to slow down on all this backbiting and all this gossip and all this stuff you're saying, you know? It's like, you're affecting me too. There's going to be times we're going to have to remove ourselves from situations when all people are doing is talking smack about someone else. You know? And I know I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, but it's a good reminder because sometimes we don't even realize that we're falling into that. You know? All right, let's keep going. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. 4. Those who despise flagrant sinners and praise righteous and honor, mine's a little different translation. I'll read it here. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. So, those who despise flagrant sinners. Well, here's the thing. This is kind of interesting here. We're not going to go around and be like, oh, you're a sinner. You know? It's like, get away from me. You know? No. We don't condone sinful lifestyles. And, you know, I've been asked about this quite often and about different things. I'm like, listen, you know? You still love the person. You don't have to agree with their lifestyle and the things that they're doing, right? And you still show love to that person. And I've had people who've struggled with this, and they're like, man, they do this type of stuff. Well, you know, you always don't have to hang out with them all the time, but you still got to show love. You still got to, you know, be there for them if they need some help or every now and then, but you don't have to, you know, be buddy all the time. But, you know, you don't condone the sinful lifestyle, but you still support the person, you love the person, because ultimately, they're a child of God as well. We need to pray for them and build them up and encourage them, right? Because ultimately, we're supposed to be examples to people, and so we need to show the love of God through our lives. How can we be an example if we're cutting ourselves off from people that's in the world, right? If we just lived as an island all to ourselves and lived in our own little commune and only believers in there, how are we going to do what God's called us to do? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know? God knows there's people that are not born again in the world, you know? He knows that. He wouldn't have called you to go do something, right? You don't support the sin, you support the person. Amen. Let's keep going. Now, here we go, the second part of that there. Go back. Here we go. And honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises when it hurts. Yeah. Anybody ever have to do that? Keep a promise even though it hurt? Absolutely. I'm telling you. Everybody in here, I see a lot of heads nodding. Bobbleheads. Maybe they're nodding off going to sleep. I don't know. This is the people that keep their word even if it costs them something. And, yeah, been there, done that. Not always fun. But let me tell you something. There is a reward for that. Amen? The Lord sees that. So you keep your promises even when it hurts. All right, verse 5, let's see. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. Woohoo! You know, you're helping out, not looking for something in return. A lot of times it's like, you know, there's situations, well, yeah, sure, I'll help you, but what do I get? You know? Well, you need to get the satisfaction of a job well done. All right? A pat on the back. Good job. What about some shunyas? Oh, no, settle down. That's money, those of you who don't know what that word means. Right? I've learned that word from Pastor Roma. Shunyas. And then there's another one, makwa, bear. See? My favorite word of them all?
Bannock.
I like that one too. Anyone else agree? Bannock, yeah? And now also, another favorite phrase I like, I use this with Pastor Roma a lot too, is ever sick? I like that one. I like that one too. See? If I don't stop, they're going to try and give me a status card for 58, Pastor. Who's that white guy? Oh, man. I am from Newfoundland. That's like a big res too sometimes, you know? All right. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. Help out. You know, don't expect anything in return. Just help a brother or sister out, you know? This is the criteria, and this is the basic outline of an honorable person. Now, we can keep digging, but for the sake of time, we'll stop there with that. But, I mean, there's so many other things that goes along with this, but that's the pretty well basic criteria of an honorable person. Now, if you're sat there and you're like, yep, good for you. And if you're sat there and you got a few things, well, I need to work on this, well, that's okay, too. You're realizing that you need to work on some stuff. You know, none of us has totally reached it. We are all, you know, projects. We're all working on ourselves. But thankfully, by the grace of God, you know, He's allowing for us to grow up spiritually. Amen? So now, we see what honor is. We see the criteria of an honorable person. So then, you know, how do we show honor? How do we honor? Well, there's three main ways that we honor, okay? And it's through our deed, our word, and our thoughts. We show honor through our deeds, our words, and our thoughts. And the interesting thing as well is dishonor can be showed through the exact same three options as well, through our deed, words, and thoughts. And so if you're going to honor someone, you know, that's the three main ways right there. That's how we do it. This generation today is dangerously close to being an honorless generation. And it is up to us to reinforce this principle in every aspect of our lives, in every area of our lives, so we can show honor in at least these three different ways. The way we act, the way we talk, and the way we think. But it's a sad reality that our society today is moving towards an honorless society that is losing all honor. There is a major disconnect with people's view of honor and how it is still very much so vital for today. I remember growing up, that, you know, all your elders and everyone that you that was older than you showed respect to them in a certain way. I grew up in a small community, And I mean, everybody that was older than you, you called them aunt and uncle. You know? And even if you really didn't know, you know, they were not related to you, but that was a way that you showed respect to your elders, you know? And even here, it's kind of carried through here, like, you know, my kids, they got certain people around here they call aunt and uncle because they show respect. Auntie Max and Uncle Ed, you know. My kids call it Aunt Kathy and Uncle Dave. I mean, it's just that type of thing that goes on. You show respect to those that are, you know, your elders or to those that you got a special connection with, you know. But growing up, I mean, that was something that was very, very important. And I remember pastors telling us stories that when elders would walk into the room when they were younger, they would stand up and show respect when the elders would come in, you know? And let me tell you something. I have a very soft spot in my heart for people that are, you know, elders and stuff like that. Man, you know, Miss Grace, she's an elder in this church. But I'm going to tell you, 85 years young and still rocking it out, I have so much respect and honor for this woman. Give her a big round of applause for being awesome. I mean, she serves, she prays, she's the biggest encouragement to my family. It's unbelievable, you know? And she comes, if you've ever had a hug from Miss Grace, they're pretty awesome too, you know? She's just such a sweet lady. But, you know, this is what happens. Is that, you know, but you show honor and respect to this lady because, you know, she is precious, very, very precious. And all of us, you know, everyone is precious, you know? But I just want to say that about Miss Grace. And we need to show respect and honor to our elders because they've been there. They've seen stuff. There's a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge in there, you know? Kids, we don't have it figured out yet. We don't, you know? We got a lot of learning and growing to do, you know? But someone who's got 85 years of life experience, I'm going to listen to them a little bit because they know something, right? They've been around the block a time or two, you know? But the beauty of it is that they're still learning as well, too. Amen? Isn't that right? She'll tell you, man. I love it. And you've made the decision to be a lifelong learner, right? Yes. Absolutely. Bless her heart. Give her another round of applause. Oh, man. That's good. Yay. So, how honor is displayed, deed, word, and thought. And so, therefore, our position as believers is to live a holy and acceptable life, consecrated unto God in a life of honor, and just not a life of partial honor. Let's have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's look, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27, Daytona to 30. Let's look at this. Now, we see here a guy by the name of Eli, and I'll give a little more context in a minute. It says, one day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. It says, I revealed myself to your ancestors when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vest as he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. So God sent a messenger to Eli and like, listen, bud, we have a serious situation here. You are dishonoring me by not doing what you were supposed to do. And a long, long time ago, I made a deal with your great-great-great-grandpappy. All right? And that your lineage, your heritage, you're supposed to be my priest. Y'all got some, you know, responsibility. And there were some specific rules that you're supposed to be following with this call that's on your life. But you are choosing to ignore them and kind of brush over the situation, and you're not correcting your sons because they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, causing mischief and up to no good, and you're blatantly disobeying my word. So this is a warning. How many of you consider this a fair warning from God to Eli? Okay? And so Eli was warned. Let me tell you something. Consider this a bit of a warning. right? If we don't show honor, there's going to be issue. There's going to be a situation. We're going to find ourselves, you know, in such a not a great situation here. Eli was the high priest and judge over Israel for 40 years. Now, he also trained Samuel, but he failed to do the right thing when it came to his own children. He did not bring correction to his sons, who were priests too, and he didn't obey, who did not obey the laws. They were doing things that were just awful and that was dishonoring to God, and the consequences of their sin was actually their own demise. Verse 29, it says, the Lord asked Eli why he honored his sons more than God. They were in disobedience to the law. Eli disobeyed God and dishonored God by not dealing with his own family. His sons, who were supposed to be leaders, abused their position, dishonoring the call that was on them from the father, as well as dishonoring God himself. Now jump over to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Let's see the consequences of what took place here. This is a little bit long, but you need to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 12 to 22. And we're going to see the consequences of what happens when there's dishonor. 22. I think. No, 12, sorry. 12, 20, yeah. That's my mistake. Your fault. All right. Yeah, I'm joking. I love you, Daytona. You're awesome. A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battlefield and arrived at Shiloh later that same day. He had torn his clothes and put dust on his head to show his grief. This guy was sad, man. Eli was waiting beside the road to hear the news of the battle, for his heart trembled for the safety of the Ark of God. When the messenger arrived and told what had happened, an outcry resounded throughout the town. What is all the noise about? Eli asked. The messenger rushed over to Eli, who was 98 years old and blind. He said to Eli, I have just come from the battlefield. I was there this very day. What happened, my son? Eli demanded. Israel has been defeated by the Philistines, the messenger replied. The people have been slaughtered, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed, and the Ark of God has been captured. Oh, man. When the messenger mentioned what had happened to the Ark of God, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and overweight. You better settle down eating those sacrifices, buddy. You know, we just seen what happened there, and he was eating the good part, and he ate too much. Wow. He had been Israel's judge for 40 years. Y'all just laughed at some poor guy breaking his neck? Savage. Oh, no, joking. Verse 19. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When she heard that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth. Wow. She died in childbirth. But before she passed away, the midwives tried to encourage her. Don't be afraid, they said. You have a baby boy. But she did not answer or pay attention to them. She named the child Ichabod, which means, where is the glory? For she said, Israel's glory is gone. She named him this because the Ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and husband were dead. Then she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured. Eli refused to deal with the situation and honor God the way that he was supposed to, and we've seen what happened. The Ark was captured, his two sons slaughtered in battle, he tipped over and broke his neck and died, and then his daughter-in-law passed away during childbirth, and the poor kid got stuck with a name, Ichabod? That's horrible. I mean, come on now. Guys, you see what happens when we choose to dishonor? We choose when we not make the corrections that need to be made in our lives? You know? I mean, this is some pretty serious stuff here. Because he was a prestigious leader, 40 years. He was the priest and judge of Israel. And he even fell into dishonor. Guys, it's something that every day we need to make sure that we are tuning up our lives, that we're making sure that we're showing love and respect to one another, that we're putting that value on people. Because let me tell you something, God values you. Scripture tells us that we are created in the likeness of Him. You're not a piece of trash. You're not garbage. You're not worn out. You're not just, you know, some whatever, second-rate person. You are a child of God. When Jesus died on that cross, you know, that's the whole reason that God loved us so much. He sent Jesus to die because He loved you. He values you. God showed the greatest honor to us when He sent Jesus to die on the cross to be our Lord and personal Savior so we wouldn't burn eternally in hell, so that we wouldn't be lost, but we could live forever with Him. Amen? And not only that, but He loves us so much and He has so much value on us that Scripture tells us that we have the opportunity to reign as kings in life. That we have the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, we have the authority to believer. Come on, we have all those benefits, right? Because God honored us. So how much more should we honor Him? Come on now. You see, our lives need to be a response to what God did for me and you. We have an opportunity to do something. You know, our lives need to be a response. So, God sent Jesus on this earth to die for me and you. Well, you know what? We need to live that life that's segregated and set apart. Scripture tells us we're not of this world. You know? Tells us that we are the called ones. We're the chosen ones. Amen? But let me tell you something. That's everybody. God's got that call. God loves us all. You know? God wants each and every one of us. You know? He's got big plans and big purposes. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, of good, not of evil." Good plans. Come on now. But you see what happened with Eli here? God had good plans for him too. But Eli stepped out from that. Eli chose to not make the proper corrections. And he put honor in the wrong place. Eli fell over into situational ethics. "I don't want to cause strife with my boys." You know, when you're in a position like that, you need to bring correction. And if you actually study out that situation a little bit more, you'll actually see that those guys are doing some pretty awful things, his sons. And Eli was not dealing with it. Guys, right now, you know, it's important for us to make sure that we are dealing with our lives, that we're not stuck with situational ethics and just doing, well, you know, I'm just keeping the peace. I'm just doing what's, you know, what's comfortable. Just want to do what's right. Do what's right. And that's something that every one of us that's watching online or here in this room, you know, every one of us, that we need to make sure that our lives are staying tuned up and connected to Christ, making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. We don't fall into that trap of situational ethics. We're putting comfort before truth. You know, like I said, it's going to cost, but doing the right thing sometimes costs. You know? But the rewards are so much better. You know? You ever do something wrong? And then all of a sudden you got that little nagging voice on the inside. "Oh, look what you did." You know? "Oh, you know? Can't believe you did that." You know? I don't want that. I don't want to feel guilty about doing something. You know? I want a clear conscience. You know? That's what I want. You know? And so I'm going to put my trust and my faith in the Lord, and I'm going to do my best. You know, we all make mistakes, but that doesn't excuse for us to stay there. All right, so let's keep going. So like I said, the cost of dishonor is extremely high. And this is very scary that our world believes that, you know, doing the dishonor thing is totally fine, as long as I'm comfortable. That's very scary. So, what is our position then to counteract the digression of honor in this society? Well, we have something that we need to do, and it starts with these three things. I got lots of 3 points today. Number one is we need to honor God. Number two is honor ourselves. And number three is honor others. And so when we honor God, honor ourselves, and honor others, we are starting to counteract the digression of honor in this society. Dishonor is trying to take over. People are mean. people do things, say things that they shouldn't be saying, you know? And I think we find ourselves sometimes, we can even get dishonoring to some of our leaders, you know, our government officials and stuff like that. But the thing is that we might not have to necessarily agree with them, but we pray for them. We don't have to get rude and ignorant and be tearing them down and saying all types of nasty things all the time. We don't have to necessarily agree with their policies and the way they do stuff because, you know, that they're human, they make mistakes, we all do. But we pray for them that God is going to intervene and put the right people across their path. I don't know if you've noticed the last few months here at church, when Pastor gets up to pray, he prays for our country, he prays for our leaders, and he prays for specific areas. Pray that the right people come across and that, you know, people will minister onto them so that they'll have the mind of Christ. You know, they'll have wisdom, revelation, you know? I don't believe that, you know, I don't think that's impossible. I believe that God is working and we don't fully see what's happening. I believe God's working behind the scenes in ways that we never thought possible. I believe right now he's putting strategic people in strategic places to be positive influences in this country. Amen? And let me tell you something else too. It is not by mistake or by accident or by coincidence that right now just across the border, you know, there's this revival starting in the universities. Because you're going to start seeing things break out all across this land. I totally believe it. You know? Because you got a bunch of people that are hungry and they're tired of the old way of things. They want to be revived. Come on now. They want to see the move of God. They want to be connected up. They want to see God moving. They want to see lives change and transformed. Amen? And I believe that it's happening right now. It's on the inside of us. We just got to activate it. We got to get it moving, sister. Come on, we got to do something about it. Amen. Amen? Come on. Last night we were here with the young adults and we just had a wonderful time. Just in the presence of God, we talked a little bit. We kind of talked about revival and what it actually was, you know. And not necessarily is it hanging from the chandeliers, you know. But it's becoming new. Restarting something that was around a while ago, but it's better, you know. And so I'm believing that, you know, we've had all these revivals in the past, and we were discussing it again this morning with some people here. You know, the Brownsville revival and the down in Toronto Blessing, and all those different things that took place. But let me tell you something. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're on the brink of something we've never seen before. Amen? Amen. But it's going to take a few people who's got a desire to see God that's going to make that sacrifice. Get out from, you know, the situational ethics. They're going to stand up. Come on now. They're going to be honorable people. And they're going to follow through what God has called them to do. And you're going to see things happen. Amen? I don't know if there's anybody in this room like that that's ready to see it. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the mighty move of God. I want it to start with me. Come on. Anybody else like that? You know, or you all gone out to Swiss Chalet already to get some chicken? What's going on here? You know? When this morning, when I was actually reading over this again, I actually put my earbuds in and I turned on. They got a live stream happening down at Asbury right now. You know, and just seeing the people of every nationality, every creed, every language, just worshiping together. I was like, oh, Lord, you know, thank you so much for what you're doing there. But, Lord, we want it more here. And, Father God, I want to be a part of that. Lord, I want that desire. I want that hunger. Lord, I want more of you, Father. Amen. And it all starts with a few people that's got that desire. Amen? Anyone here want that? Good, we got two people. Ooh, going to be a blowout. Come on. Amen. That was all free. That was not in my notes. That was just a bunny trail. Aren't those good? You know? Amen. Well, like I said, it starts with three things as honoring and how we stop the digression of it. Honoring God, honoring ourselves, and honoring others. And so we'll quickly look at this. You know, how do we honor others? Romans 12. Turn over there in your Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 13. In the New Living Translation. This is how we honor others. It's not rocket science. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When the Lord's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. You show love to people. You show respect to people. You'll be there willing to help out people. That's how you honor people. That's how you honor others, you know? And let me tell you something. We got some people around here. They are fantastic at doing this. I mean, they show love and they show respect and hospitality, man. You know, if you got a hospitality heart, come on. That's a great way to show honor to people right there. Isn't that good? Showing love to one another. The word here shows us how to treat other Christians or other people. Love one another, care for one another, be patient, and pray. If you want to honor one another, honor others, that's how you do it. The next thing I said there was to honor ourselves. In honoring ourselves, we need to take care of our three parts. How many of you know that we're made up of three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body, right? Well, if we want to honor ourselves, we got to take care of all three parts. We live in a body. That's what lets us live here on this earth. We have a soul, which is our intellect, our thinking, our processes, and our spirit, that's the real you. Come on now. So like your body, you got to feed it. You got to work it. You know, you got to do exercises. You got to do different things, right, to take care of it. And that's how you honor your body. Your spirit, well, you're doing it. You're going to church. You're reading the Word of God, getting in there and seeing what it's got to say. You're communing with God. You're having communication. You're praying. You're talking. You're doing all those things. You know, you're learning. And then your soul, well, you got to do the same thing with that. You got to put good things in there, positive things. That's how you grow that. It's so easy to go by the wayside and kind of neglect, you know, one of these three parts sometimes. But if we want to honor ourselves, we need to make sure that we're looking after spirit, soul, and body, you know? And all three, we don't go all week with only eating one meal, do we? I mean, some people eat 2, 3, 4, 10 meals a day. Stop judging me, all right? Some people, they eat, you know, but if, what if you only ate one meal a month? That's pretty bad, you know? You only eat one meal a day. Well, you know what? If you only go to church once a week, you're only feeding your spirit. If you're not doing nothing else, you know, you're going to have a very anorexic spirit, you know? It's not going to be in very good shape. So let me tell you something. You need to be feeding that thing. You need to be listening to some worship music. You need to be listening to some teachings on tapes in between. Read the Bible. Read some books. I mean, Pastor Roma's got a bunch of books out there. Go read those. Amen? You know, there's lots of good stuff out there in the bookstore that you can read and get topped up on. We need to be feeding our spirit. We need to be feeding our soul. And we need to be feeding our body the proper things, nutritious things that's going to help you grow. That's how you honor ourselves, just like that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified. It says, "For we are His workmanship, His own master work, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set, so that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us." Right there in the beginning of verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship." Okay? Created in Christ Jesus. We were created by God. So therefore, like I said, you're not a mistake, you're not just some piece of trash, but you are God's perfect prized possession piece of art. That's who you are. So you need to treat yourself like it. Come on now. You got to value yourself a little bit. You know? Who cares what people say? It only matters what the Word of God says. You know? Oh, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're not fast enough, you're too big, you're too small, you're too this, you're too that. No, God created, you're not a mistake. Give yourself a big hug and say, "Oh, God loves me and I love me." Come on, hug yourself. Hug yourself. Oh, crazy people. Oh, nice. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 in the King James Version, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Come on now. We glorify God. Amen? Woo-wee! That's good. That's good. And the last one I want to talk about real quick was honoring others, honoring ourselves, and how do we honor God? Honoring God is actually the natural response for us, for what he's done for us. you know, the response to him making us righteous, the response for him making us whole, the response for us for him creating us to be healed, all those things belong to us. It's the reciprocating, it's us reciprocating the things that he done for us. Okay? He created us. He loved us. He sent Jesus to die for us. So therefore, our life needs to be a reflection of that. So, in saying this, you know, we need to show God our honor, our respect, and humility. You know? So basically, we're saying, God, have your way with my life. And when we say that, we are showing true humility. Proverbs 15, verse 33 in the New Living. It says, fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. What do this mean? In order to have a life of honor, you have to have a life of humility. So if we are going to honor God, you know, we need to humbly come before him. Come on now. We need to live our lives humbly. And I also like the scripture verse as well, too, in John chapter 3, verse 30 to 31. It says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. You see, if we're going to honor God, we don't put ourselves before him. We yield ourselves to him. Come on now. And so therefore, he's got those plans. He's got those purposes. He's got those jobs that we're supposed to be doing, that calling that is on our lives. Oh, I got greater plans, so I'm going to do something better than that. You know, God wants me to do it. Oh, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to become an airplane pilot, you know? You're crazy, you know? No, you want to follow the call of God that he has on your life. And there's many times that, you know, I'm reading in Scripture, and we just finished off the Ephesians class in Bible school, and we see Paul, and he wrote the letter of Ephesians to the church in Ephesus. And Paul was in prison while he was writing this letter. And right at the end, you know, instead of saying, you know, well, he goes, and remember to pray for me too. But it wasn't to pray that he would be released, but pray that the Lord would give me the strength to continue to encourage you. Okay? Paul was not worried about himself, but rather being used of God to continue to encourage the church. And he's chained up. I bet you the majority of us would be praying, oh God, get me out of here. Paul's like, oh Lord, Lord, give me the strength to continue what I'm doing so I can continue to encourage the church. I'm sure the guys there is like, don't you realize you're chained up, bro? Shouldn't you be praying to God to get you out of here? Nah, the Lord will take care of that. I want the strength and the energy and the wisdom and the knowledge so I can continue to encourage to build up the church, you know? I mean, Paul showed true humility right there. Like, that's crazy, you know? Honestly, when I read that and I was looking at that, I'm like, I don't know if I could have done that, you know? I was like, wow, I want to get out of jail, you know? But Paul was like, no, give me the strength so I can do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Well, another good example of this as well is when we look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was about to get arrested and crucified, and he cried out to God, if there's any other way that this could be done, you know, I'm willing to do that if this cup can be taken away. But then he said, not my will, but yours. Right? I mean, he knew what was coming. He knew that that night there was going to be some crazy stuff that was going to take place. He was going to be beaten, he was going to be bruised, he was going to be mutilated, going to be nailed to a cross. Lord, if there's any other way that this can happen, I'm willing, but it's not what I want, it's what you want. You know? And I think as our response, if we want to honor God, is that it needs to be, God, whatever you want with my life, I'm willing. Use me. He's made us righteous, we live holy. Come on now. He's provided us healing, we walk in that. He's provided us blessings, we receive it. And we give it out to others as well. Amen? Hey, everyone, stand on your feet this morning. Living a life of honor is full of benefits. And living a life of honor is a good thing. It's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, it's just not something that we need to be taking for granted. It's something that we need to be thinking about all the time. And so as believers, we have a responsibility to live the life of honor. We can be examples to those people around us. And let me tell you something. If we start focusing more on the things of God and treating people the way they're supposed to be treated, you're going to see increase happen in your life. You know? You're going to see benefits. There's another scripture verse in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." You know, showing respect and honor to your parents, you know, even says right there, you're going to have long life. You know, at any age, you're still someone's kid. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Even if your parents have passed on, you can still show respect and show honor, you know. But I mean, what I'm trying to say here is that the benefits of honor, they're there. I don't know about you, but I want a long life. I don't want my life to be cut short because of my stupidity. You know, I want to make sure that I'm tuned up. I don't want to be like Eli and lose it all because I choose to not do the right thing. I want to make sure that my life is lined up with the Word of God. And like I said, you know, we're all learning, we're all growing, we all make mistakes. But the thing is that we learn from those mistakes and we don't go back there and make the same mistake again. You know? I mean, it's so easy to do that. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't ever like to close a service without doing this. But if you're in this place right now, and you need to make things right between you and God. You might be in a situation where, you know, you've known God before, you've had a relationship with Him, or you've just kind of drifted away. Or you've never actually accepted Him as your Lord and personal Savior. And you really want to get back on track with Him. You want to have that honorable life. You want to start changing things around your life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you and you're in this place, why don't you slip your hand up real quick if you want to get back on track. Thank you for your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. And if you're watching online, same thing. Let us know. Shoot a message there. But everybody within the sound of my voice, I'm going to pray a prayer. You're going to repeat after me. We're going to dedicate our lives to Christ today. And we're going to choose to be honorable people. We're going to declare it this morning. And we're going to allow God to do something awesome. So everyone within the sound of my voice, repeat after me. Say, "Dear Father, today I choose you. I want to be a person of honor. I want to love you. I want to love others. And I want to love myself. I know I'm your creation. And I thank you for choosing me and for loving me and for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Today, Lord, I choose you to be my Lord and personal Savior. Father, I commit myself to you today to be my King. I love you, Lord. Have your way with my life. Use me for your will. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen." Come on, let's just give him the praise and the glory this morning. Let's just thank him for his goodness. Come on, let's just thank him for loving us. Even though we were so unworthy, he sees us as worthy. Come on, even though, you know, we might seem like we're not that great, he sees us as wonderful. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you. We just worship you. Come on, all across this auditorium, let's just praise him for a few moments. Let's just thank him for his goodness. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we are honorable people. We're going to love people. We're going to tell people how much we love them. We're going to show people how much we love them. We're going to respect people. Father, we are going to pray for our leaders. Lord, we just pray for them right now. We pray for the government of Canada and all the officials, Lord, that you're going to be with them. Guide them, Father. Protect them, Lord. Father, I pray that their eyes and their ears of their understanding will be enlightened, Lord. That, Father God, they will hear from you. Father, I pray for all of our civic leaders in Thunder Bay right now, Father, that, Lord, you're going to be with them. Guide and protect them, Lord. Show them what needs to be done in this city. Father, I pray for the different leaders and the different organizations that's represented here, Father. Lord, I pray you're with them, Lord. Father, I thank you that things are happening in their lives right now. Lives, things are being changed right now, that they feel you, Lord, even right now, wherever they are. Father, I pray for our pastors all across the city. Father, I pray that you're going to be with them, strengthen them, guide them, protect them, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, a little different morning, I know, but hopefully you got something out of that. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. So don't forget tonight, you can log in online and follow Winter Bible Seminar down at Rhema. I believe it's at
8 o'clock. Tonight
is 7 o'clock, right? Tonight at 7 o'clock our time, the rest of the week and the night. It starts at 8, but they start earlier tonight. And then Bible school tonight, students. Y'all going to be here. You got Bible school. Ha, ha, ha. All right. Well, guys, have a blessed day in hospitality. First-time guests, visitors, we want to see you. Ask an usher. We want to meet you down in the fellowship hall. And we got some dainties and some stuff down there to meet with you. Amen. All right, God bless y'all. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you back here next time.